Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here comes the bridegroom. Come out and meet him.' And then all these bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are running out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also and said, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, it's been quite a week. Blood pressures are up. Sleep deficit is up. Screen time is up. Anxiety is up. Some people have been stressed into eating more, and some people have been so stressed they've been unable to eat at all. At least the weather's been nice for us, although not in all parts of the world. So we are living through signs, it looks like, that are related to end times, with these current crises of democracy and virus and chaos in our country and in chaos in the world and the death of people and chaos in our way of life and our traditions and our celebrations and our holidays. Perhaps you're among those who don't see a positive end in all this chaos and are fervently praying for the end of the world and the final redemption of all creation, and let's just get this over with, God. That's the state of the people in the Bible readings that we just heard. In all of them, people are asking the same question as many people are this morning: where are you, God? Why aren't things working out perfectly? Why don't you come and stop this nonsense and the pain? In the first reading, the prophet Amos, we heard him talking to the people whose government was so inept that they prayed for the Lord to come quickly and save them. In St. Paul's church in Greece, 500 years later, the Christians were living under persecution from the government and from their neighbors. They felt abandoned by God because they'd been promised that they wouldn't die before Christ came again and made everything right. And some of the church members were dying, and they worried that these people will be lost forever. God's people in Amos' time, God's people in Paul's time, God's people today sitting in worship, all wondering where God's bright promises are in all of this. After all, we and they have prayed hard and looked for justice, for vindication of our faith that might doesn't make right. For some, they feel that some of that waiting is now over. And for more changes, they're still waiting. No matter how the results of the various races in this election end up shaking out, those who voted for the winners will not get the perfect world that they were voting for. It's not going to magically solve all the problems. Amos warns that getting God's intervention may be sort of an out of the frying pan into the fire experience. He says, it's as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear. or went into a house to get shelter from the storm, rested their hand against the wall, and was bitten by a snake. So even if we think that we're getting from God the answer to our prayers, what we wanted, it may mean that that's not going to be the be-all and end-all that we wanted it to be, and that we must still wait for a fully just world. Jesus knows we're still waiting, and he tells us this morning a parable about it. It's about 10 tween girls, divided 50-50, pretty much like this country. Five don't plan ahead and expect the others to bail them out. And five are mean girls whose idea of help is to send these 12-year-olds into town in the middle of the night to buy oil from clothes shops. The girls with the oil had this panicky response that if they shared, then they might not have enough for themselves. Sort of like, remember the TP panic last spring? If we don't share our toilet paper, we might not have enough for ourselves. We'll take as much and hoard as much as we can. Last spring, we as a society, like those girls who didn't do the sensible planning, found ourselves shut out of the stores and celebrations in the church. We haven't been sensible. We got shut out. And as we heard from the people who were wanting our votes, lots of us felt shut out of being listened to, being heard, having our concerns actually taken seriously, just being used and manipulated and being shut out by the political parties. Now, tween girls are not known for their wisdom. My granddaughter is one, and she's very opinionated, and she also filters everything through herself. Tween girls are not noted for their empathy either. Both lack of wisdom and lack of empathy are on display in this parable. The story revolves around the need for oil in order to do your duty for the groom at the wedding, and how to obtain enough of that oil when things don't go to plan. Thinking and planning ahead doesn't take great wisdom, but the oil was desired by both sets of girls so they could do their duty, yes, but for tween girls, the important thing was not to be excluded from the party. So they need oil for their lamps. Now, an Aladdin oil lamp with a burning flame is a common symbol for learning, for wisdom. You often see it on college logos. So desiring oil can be a symbol for desiring wisdom, like those girls that Jesus labeled wise. We just read from the Bible that the beginning of wisdom is the most sincere desire for instruction. And that desire for wisdom leads to a kingdom. Jesus starts this story by saying, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. So it seems like Jesus is advising us to pursue wisdom while we're waiting. And if you're feeling shut out, or likely to be shut out, then you'll need to find that wisdom that leads to God's kingdom. You can't control when the kingdom will come, so you have to have wisdom to cope in the moment and be prepared for the unknown. We're having a lot of experience with that in this virus world. We're learning that we need to live with plan A today, but to be prepared with a plan B in case plan A doesn't work out tomorrow. That was the wisdom of the bridesmaids who packed the extra oil. That was the advice from the prophet Amos. Don't wait around for God to come and save you. It might not work out that your idea, the way your ideas of plan A should at all. Instead, work on plan B which he says is to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Your oil of wisdom is understanding that plan B is to work for justice and righteousness that will make you ready to enjoy the day of the Lord. For as our Bible verse today said, the desire for wisdom leads to a kingdom. As to where we can turn to get that oil, to receive the wisdom that leads to a kingdom, we can turn to St. Paul, who tells us that we will find it in each other. His church is worried and anxious because things are not going to plan. Plan A was that Jesus would return before anyone in the congregation died and they'd all be with Jesus together forever. But the second coming of Christ is delayed, and some die. And Paul says, it's okay. There's a plan B. When Christ comes again to earth, all of us will go out to meet him. And the dead in Christ, your church family, will also be there alive in Christ, and we'll all meet him together as he comes down to us. And then we'll be with the Lord forever, he says. It's hard to trust Plan B when you counted on Plan A in all the departments of life. So then, Paul adds advice as to how to get the wisdom to trust Plan B. Therefore, he says, therefore encourage one another with these words. Find wisdom by listening to one another, and not just anyone, but those you can trust because you have a trusting relationship with them. They don't have to be people that you agree with. In fact, as you listen to people that you disagree with, they become, and their side becomes more humanized, and you find that they're not enemies, but other people with the concerns just seeing things differently than you do. And that their ideas have merit too. That's going to be especially important in our country, since half of us have been demonizing the other half, and each has felt not really heard. This is our oil, relationships that encourage each other because we act toward each other with justice and righteousness, toward each other, toward those with whom we learn to have a relationship, especially with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is the oil that you don't want to run out of. And luckily you won't, because you don't have to go to the shops. God provides the oil that keeps us burning till the break of that day when Christ comes for all of us. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen. And we sing God's praise with the words of Mary's Magnificat.